The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston with KILR Estherville and Jake Bourgeois with Dyersville Commercial. Ed, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, I was wanting to see if you had any comments on the anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic protests that have been going on college campuses around the nation, and if there's anything that Congress can do to address that.
I'm shocked at the anti-Semitism. I'm shocked that people that go to universities don't know about the Holocaust of World War II, 6 million Jews being annihilated. And I just think that people don't have sympathy in learning from history the plight of Jewish people. And when you're a Jewish student and you can't feel safe on the college campuses, I think that's atrocious. And I believe that universities are run to learn, and freedom of speech and demonstrations, as long as they're peaceful, are very legitimate process at a university or other than a university. And as long as they go on and don't upset learning at a university, and people that don't want to demonstrate, but it looks to me like what I've seen on television and the number of arrests made, that's not the situation. Jewish students don't feel safe, and learning for those that want to go to class is very much upset. And I'm appalled at the university presidents that won't call it out and call in law enforcement and break up these encampments.
All right, let's go ahead, Jake, then.
A couple questions on the package that you voted for in the last week or so. First, wanted to start off with the foreign aid portion. How did that get to a point where you felt it was something you wanted to vote for? Just sort of talking about the foreign aid portion.
Stop Putin in his tracks before he goes through Ukraine and invades Poland or the Baltic states or other countries that he's connected to, and that if that were to happen, it would trigger in Article 5 of the NATO treaty, and not only would be spending many times more dollars, but we'd also possibly be shedding blood, American blood, in the defense of NATO countries. And that's what the NATO treaty is all about, to bring all together to defend against what Putin said he wanted to do. Way back in 2005, he said the breakup of the Soviet Union was the biggest geopolitical disaster of the 20th century. And he has said in many speeches and his activities in several countries that he's invaded prove that he's out to do what he said he was going to do, reestablish the Russian Empire. And I don't want to shed American blood in defense of NATO countries, and I don't want to spend more money than we're spending in Ukraine. So stopping Putin where he is what we should do. And before we go back to the first person, I think I forgot to answer his second question that I'd like to answer right now, because he says, is there anything that Congress can do about what's going on at the universities? And I think the answer is most of this is local law, and there's nothing Congress needs to do except, as I'm doing and several other members of Congress, is speak out against the presidents of the university not keeping a peaceful environment within the university. I'm ready for the next question.
All right. Ed, we can go back to you.
All right. As a follow-up question on the Ukraine story, how do you think the war is going right now? Do you think, are you optimistic that Ukraine can win the war?
I can't be optimistic with Congress being about 5 months late making a decision to let them know that we were still going to support them even though I know European countries stepped into the breach and gave a lot of aid when it was questionable whether the United States would do anything more. But I have to admit to you that Russia has made some advancement within the last 3 months that I didn't think they would make, and they wouldn't have been able to make this if we had made a decision sooner than we do. So I think it's unconscious that the United States wouldn't have stepped in to help sooner.
All right, back to Jake.
Just to follow up on the foreign aid portion of the package, we've focused a lot on sort of the Ukraine portion in the answer. Wonder if you had any comments about sort of the portion of the funding that's going to Israel, and I think it was Taiwan as part of that as well.
Well, first of all, in regard to the money that supposedly is going to Ukraine, remember $23 billion of it stays in the United States to pay for American labor to reestablish and refortify our military war materiel in our own warehouses and upgrade it to a more modern level. And $12 billion of it's going to support American troops already stationed in Europe, Poland, Lithuania. And by the way, I have a grandson, I think, was recently sent to Poland as an example. So all of this money is not going to Kyiv. It's going to be spent in the United States. And then answering your question about the Israeli part, also, most of the money that's going to Israel is going to be spent in the United States as they use the money to buy war materiel from the United States produced by American workers. And then in regard to Taiwan, I think it's a case of us not defending Taiwan, but have money available so that they'll be able to buy from the United States stuff that they need to upgrade their defense against China.
All right, and back to Ed.
Senator, President Biden issued a statement today condemning the Israeli army for human rights violations as they prosecute the war with Hamas. How do you feel about that?
I think the United States shouldn't be telling any country how to defend itself. And that's what we're trying to do, is tell Israel how to defend itself after the unconscious and inhumane invasion that Hamas did to Israel in October the 7th. And we shouldn't be telling Israel. Just like we would not want any other country on the face of this earth to tell us how to defend ourselves if Mexico were to invade the United States, as just one example. We would resent it, and we ought to resent it.
All right, and Jake, you'll have the last question.
Thank you. Just wanted to get some comments, because I know also as part of this sort of this same bill, I think was where the move to require TikTok to sell. Just wondering what your thoughts were on that portion of the legislation.
I'll answer your question this way, as I answered for high school students, and I didn't get any pushback after giving this answer. First of all, it won't, if it's sold in the United States, it'll still be able to operate in the United States the way it is. And if it isn't sold and operate in the United States and we shut off its functioning in the United States, we would be doing it for the privacy of American citizens that should want to protect their privacy. And then I use the example of China's interference in American business through TikTok, because when the bill was up in the House of Representatives, people in Beijing said, get a hold of our customers in America, tell them to call the House of Representatives and tell their congressman not to vote for it. There were so many calls made to the House of Representatives at that time and that day that it shut down the phone lines going into the House of Representatives. So then I hypothesized that would you want Beijing to call up those same people and give a bunch of lies about the candidates for President of the United States on November the 4th before the November 5th general election this fall? And would you want that sort of interference? And we do not want that sort of interference in America. And that's what I told the kids. Before both of you hang up, let me say how sorry I am for the deaths that happened in Pottawatomie County, Minden, and other places in Iowa where there is so much destruction that we got to be sad for the families that are suffering from the loss of life and people that have been hurt, and also for the homes that have been damaged and the businesses that have been hurt, and seeing what I saw reminded me of the E5 that went through Parkersburg, Iowa, and New Hartford, Iowa, in I think it was late May of 2008, just a mile north of where I live. So much damage, 13 people died. It looks even worse in Minden, as an example. People are hurting. The governor has declared a emergency, and that'll be sent to the White House. And those of us in the congressional delegation will be backing up the governor's request for emergency disaster declaration by the President of the United States. And I have no doubt that we'll get it very, very soon. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Ed and Jake, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.